Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two. And our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We believe the checks and balances are brilliant. One of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Dr. Scott Bradley with me in the house now. Welcome back, my brother.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, Sam, and good morning to all.
All right, there's so much to talk about, so little time, but I want to highlight last hour really quick and focus on this very issue. So we had our guest on, Mr. Stuart Rhodes, president and founder of OathKeepers.org. And my headline says, fake news, FBI chases masterminds of riot plots, New York Times. And the reason I say that it's fake news is because they are acting like they're chasing the masterminds of the riot plots as if that's already a fact. And my response is they're blatantly saying things that contradict that headline. Let me give you an example. It says a criminal complaint filed alleges conspiracy and other crimes against three members of Oath Keepers. The three have been arrested, they say. They say the group communicated via Facebook with someone who might have had inside knowledge, egging them on and directing them where to find legislators, the FBI alleges. So wait a minute. We've got these three involved with somebody who might have been on Facebook and we're alleging all this stuff, but the headline says, hey, we're chasing the masterminds of the riot. Well, I talked to Stuart Rhodes directly last hour, Dr. Bradley, and Stuart Rhodes, turns out that two of the three aren't even Oath Keepers. Okay, turns out Thomas Caldwell of Virginia and Donovan Crowell of Ohio aren't even Oath Keepers. They're not even members of Oath Keepers. Okay? Now, this is where I don't understand how the mainstream press does their reporting at all. They're not even honest. Now, the third one, Jessica Watkins, is a low-level Oath Keeper member. By the way, anybody can become a member. All you got to do is go to the website and sign up and become a member. Stuart says he knows Jessica. He says she's been involved in some peaceful events before. And the bottom line is, Jessica Watkins is a member and is innocent until proven guilty. This is something we seem to be jettisoning in our society on the altar of, well, hey, they're still investigating 3 weeks later, the masterminds. Turns out that two of the three aren't even Oath Keepers. Turns out that, what do you mean masterminds? It's alleged. Somebody on Facebook might have been helping them. I mean, wow, 3 weeks later, not very solid of an investigation. Now, here's what's interesting, though. Literally seconds after the Capitol breach occurred, or whatever you want to call it, I believe most of them didn't. Most people that were there never even entered the Capitol. The few that did, most of them didn't do any damage or cause any problems. The very few that did do damage and did cause problems, destroying property, and et cetera, they need to be prosecuted. I get that. But we can't create this general idea that Trump's the great insurrectionist and, wow, the masterminds are the Oath Keepers. Those headlines do serious damage to people who are innocent until proven guilty. Then to add insult to injury, what they do is they took down the Oath Keepers website, so Stuart wasn't even able to respond. Okay, now Oath Keepers have their website back up, thank heavens. But what I'm getting at is there is an extreme dishonest media backed by a dishonest FBI peddling this porn that, hey, right-wing extremists have gone psychotic and, wow, they're all guilty. All this without any evidence whatsoever. They're literally reporting two out of the three. They said all three were Oath Keepers. They've been arrested. Two out of the three aren't even Oath Keepers. Okay, well, Dr. Bradley, what the heck's going on around here?
Well, you know, you say the first one that brings up the Nazis loses, but this is so typical of the propagandizing that's been happening for so long here in this country. I mean, you take any subject you want, whether it's the COVID panic or supremacists of whites or the idea that you're going to have to completely eradicate any kind of anything about Americanism. There's a propagandizing effort that goes forth, and it's fire ready aim, but they know where they're going with it because they have to tell the story, and it's told as not just a narrative, it's a script. And I find it so interesting in comparing and contrasting what's going on today, the hyperventilating that's going on about things. Back in 1933, when the Reichstag fire was, they used that as the, that event as the justification for fully unloading all German liberties and giving full power to this guy named Hitler that had just been put in. And it worked out pretty good for the regime, worked out really bad for the rest of the world. But what it basically did is they said, oh, ain't it awful, we got to take all of these draconian measures, and everybody just fell in line. Well, now it's unremitting orchestration. But here's how the Founding Fathers did it. The Founding Fathers, if you could say in their criminal justice system they had any bias at all, it was a bias towards the guilty or the one that was accused. I mean, there was an assumption of innocence before, in every event, and everything they did was an effort to prevent these false accusations from coming out. You look at the grand jury, for example. There is no trumpeting from the organs of society, you know, the big newspapers and the media sources. You know, there was an investigation done behind the scenes, and the individuals were examined, and there was no accusation that was public. That was, you know, an accusation is a devastating thing, and you know, the lawyering up and the expense that's involved in that and everything that happens, it was done quietly, and the grand jury were supposed to have the intelligence to look at everything and say, what are you guys talking about? There's no smoke or fire here. This individual didn't do it. It just went away. But the rest of it too. I mean, you talk about the bail being set at a reasonable level so that people didn't have to stay, you know, cooped up in jail while their trial was going on. These people were allowed out to assist in their trial, even if they were accused. The jury situation, people were supposed to be selected for jurists that were intelligent, articulate, thinking people. I mean, okay, I'm not going to tell you I'm putting myself in that category particularly, but every time I have been called to jury duty, I have been thrown out of my ear before we got hardly through the process at all. And I can probably identify some of the reasons. I'm honest in my responses and so on. But I find that what's happened today has become a total bias against the accused. It's a total bias for an agendized kind of approach to things. The narrative, I mean, if you listen to Mr. Biden's inaugural address, I mean, what a bunch of angst. Well, the whole thing was a bunch of angst, but the point is he's declaring war on, you know, so-called white supremacists, and the problem is, I mean, everything is so broadly painted with a tar brush nowadays that almost anything, you could be a terrorist for sneezing on the air. I mean,
that's kind of the problem is, on one hand, he said, hey, let's have unity.
Oh, baloney.
On the other hand, he literally says, but we're going to declare war on terrorism. And what is a terrorist act? Let me give you an example. Let's say that I believe the election is still a fraud, which I do.
Well, obviously you're fomenting dissension, and that we can't have that in this country.
No, I just believe that criminal activity has occurred. Now, has it occurred or not? Well, we haven't been able to prove it has. They say that's proof that it's not, but that's a lie. That's a dishonest, manipulative, a quantum leap in logic lie. Because I haven't been able to prove something has happened to their satisfaction, they say that's proof that it hasn't happened. Okay, that we need to help Americans understand that's a logical fallacy, a quantum leap. That isn't true. Okay, the facts are facts regardless if I've been able to get to the courts and prove it or not, etc. So if I believe that the election was a fraud, which I have every right to think and believe if I want to, okay, this is not China, this is not the thought police, and if I think that, can I then say, stop the steal? Well, what Joe Biden wants you to believe is I'm a terrorist because I insist on that. The only way we're going to have, quote, unity is if I basically embrace everything that he says and does as the gospel truth and there's no dissenters. Otherwise, there's not unity. Now, I would preach of a different word than unity. I would teach the principle called civility. And the reason that I would is because I don't need to have a rhetoric against him and call him a terrorist. He doesn't need to call me a terrorist. We can agree to disagree on the vote fraud thing. He's already, quote, become president. I think it's done so illegitimately. I would like to see honor and integrity in the election system. And I probably can't fix it going backwards. But you know what? If I can get some proof, I should be able to level that proof against them. And going forward, I need to basically put things in place that guarantee honest elections. In the meantime, I can still think and believe what I want to. Now, he even said, well, we don't have to melt down. We don't have to create World War III over our belief systems. Well, then why is he creating World War III and saying I can't dissent or I'm a terrorist? So there's dishonesty. Let's get back. Let the doctor speak of this logic quantum leap I'm talking about and the missteps that that logic brings about. I'm not preaching unity. I am calling for civility.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
So the good doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley, with me, freedomsrisingsun.com is website. So I'm rejecting this unity idea, okay, because I don't believe in unity the way they want to define unity. I think unity should be around the supreme law of the land, upholding God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property, these kind of things. They don't believe that. They're literal communists. And they believe something different. They believe murdering babies. Hey, if you're against that, you're a terrorist. They believe in, okay, so we cannot have unity in this situation, okay? Jesus Christ and Satan did not have unity. Okay, that doesn't mean that we can't be civil, though, and somewhat respectful and say, hey, I disagree with your narrative, and here's why. Here's what I believe, and here's why, and let the people decide for themselves. So I'm rejecting unity and standing on a principle called civility. And I believe that they're manipulating the minds and hearts of the people in a very satanic way. Scott?
What's going on here is actually Orwellian. I mean, if you go back, now Orwell, as your listeners probably know, they're probably farther along the education path than the average bear. You know, Orwell was truly a socialist, a dedicated socialist. And what he wrote, some of the things, you know, some of his literature was mocking some other of the flavors of socialism, which really is interesting. It's one gang trying to build their gang up over another gang and look for ascendancy over that. And ultimately and finally, that's what World War II was a bunch of the gangs that were socialist in nature that were looking for ascendancy, whether it was Fabian socialist or Nazi socialism or communist socialism or whatever it was. Anyway, so they look to silence anybody that's of a different opinion. And this Orwellian approach, you know, putting it down the memory hole, this sameness of everyone, and you know, the everybody has to believe their narrative or else it's not true. And, well, anyway, there's a complete, this is a flip on everything that the Founding Fathers encouraged. And if you look at the First Amendment, this idea of the free speech and the press and the ability to peacefully assemble and so on, those philosophies, and we've talked about this before, were incorporated not because of anything except for the political narrative. They were there to make certain that everyone had a voice, and the free speech and the press were there to as a opportunity for people to say, wait, this doesn't make any sense. But in today's society, there is such a controlled narrative with an establishment viewpoint. I don't care whether you're talking about COVID or weapons or mass destruction, you're talking about going to war, you're talking about a political belief system, you're talking about the color of somebody's skins. I don't know anything that there hasn't been an accepted doctrine that is taught as a script, and everything else is silenced. I think I've told before on the program, some time ago, there was a six-minute segment being put together by a major media source in our state, and this everybody knows the big footprint they have, and they have the, you know, everybody's ear, quote unquote. Well, I did a 28 minute interview with them for a 6 minute segment. They gave nine seconds to my statements and probably the least pertinent issues, and spent the rest of the 6 minutes trying to debunk it because it was contrary to the establishment viewpoint. And so, you know, when you talk political issues, though, let's talk about unity. The unity that's required of everybody that holds office and everybody that's been in the military or anything is to uphold the United States Constitution. That is a unity factor.
Hold on, let me stop there. So, and that basically promise to uphold the Constitution, there is an oath that everybody takes that is the same, right?
Well, there's a slight variation between, you know, the president's oath and the senator's oath and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and if you listen to those oaths that they did on the 20th, you see the little variations between some of the things. But nevertheless...
But the core of the principles, though, are the same.
Yes, exactly true. And so the unity that we need to do is come to unity in the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution does uphold the privilege of dissent and to bring forth other answers. Now, I got to tell you, there's always been kind of a tugging in different ways. Factions have always been part of almost every political process that's out there. But here's how George Washington cried for unity, and this is in his farewell address. He said, "Citizens by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation or name derived from local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have a common cause, fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, sufferings, and success." So here was, you know, the rightfully called the father of the country in terms of mortality anyway. I believe God is our father. But the fact of the matter is there were those that were trying to pull different directions, and he unified them, saying, "Hey, wait, let's look at how we really are very similar to each other. And we have the same desires. We all want to be free. We all want to pursue our you know, life's dreams are pursuit of happiness, as we put in the Declaration of Independence. You know, this idea of general welfare, that's a predictable, stable society. And almost everything that's happening today is disruptive of that. It's a communist approach to things. Communism is based upon the ability to stir the pot, create conflict, create turmoil, and out of the turmoil and the dissension and the confusion and the mess that they've created, you bring out a communist dialectical approach to things that says, we're going to be in charge now. And it's been used down through history so many times, and I brought up the Reichstag fire, and you look at how the Marxist people took over with the Mensheviks and Bolshevik kind of thing, and they steamroll people. This is kind of the approach that's being handled in America today, and if you don't have the narrative that they want, you just don't get a voice or a platform. And you look at almost everything. Weapons of mass destruction. Let's just look at that. Why we went to Iraq? You know, why did we start a war over there? I mean, there were no weapons of mass destruction, and the people that were fomenting this lied through their teeth at the most senior levels of the United States government. And it's so disheartening to say, wait, the whole political narrative was completely contrived. There was no discussion. I mean, you look at how we go to war. It's to the United Nations for permission rather than through Congress. Everything is turned on its head by those that are manipulating the system. And let's look at, well, I don't know, I'm throwing a whole bunch of stuff out here, but you look at the 17 executive orders that Biden signed his first day in office. This was a complete, it was a usurpation of power and driving the nation in a direction that they've picked their path, and it's basically a script. And it's going to be the opposite of anything Americanist found in the United States Constitution and the tradition of the Founding Fathers. This is absolutely, there's nobody else that has a voice except for those that are taking it down a path that will destroy the nation. So, yeah, their idea of peace is kind of like the communist peace, the peace of the grave. Okay, you can have peace if you'll shut up and die. Yeah, you know, you can't be... if you have a different voice or opinion, it's not given any outlet. And I would beg to say that even those major so-called media organs that are identified as being quote-unquote conservative, most of them have the party narrative too. And it's one of those things where you say, if you're different, you're shunted to ground, using an electronic term. You don't go anywhere. You just, it's gone. Not there anymore. So Trump's people are really going to be kind of, I think, targeted in the future. I think that there's a lot of effort to try and paint them with a brush that will make certain that their hopes and dreams are never, ever brought to the forefront. And I'm not saying Trump had a perfect agenda by any means, and we were quick to point out the falsehoods and the stumblings that happened and all that. But the point of the matter is, there's half the country right now that has been completely marginalized by the other half of the country that claims they're going to hold the full range of the power. And you heard on your news segment about the effort to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. And just go with a mere majority. And if you have a mere majority, that's a Bolshevik approach to things. Principles get set aside. Let's talk about Mensheviks and Bolsheviks in a minute, because I think that applies here in America.
It certainly does, and they're calling for unity. I'm calling for civility. We'll talk about those differences as well in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
With the stroke of a pen, President Biden eliminated roughly 52,000 American union jobs. Revoking the permit for the Keystone XOil pipeline and rejoining the Paris Climate Accord are the contributing factors. A group of Republican senators from Western states, led by Senator Steve Daines of Montana, joined other GOP voices in scoffing President Biden's decision. The administration says it's in national interest to end the pipeline so that other countries can see America moving away from fossil fuels. Another of President Biden's executive orders this week was mandating face coverings on all federal property. Hours later, the president gave a speech at the Lincoln Memorial without a face mask. A spokesman for Biden said, "There are bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time." Australia is introducing a world-first law to make Google, Facebook, and potentially other tech companies pay media outlets for their news content. Their proposed news code is seen as a possible global test case for how governments could seek to regulate big tech firms. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Check 1212. Microphones are on their way to the red planet. USA Radio News Wendy King reports.
Three new Mars missions are heading for the red planet in February, and they'll be recording the first sounds from another planet. NASA expects its Perseverance rover to land February 18th after the United Arab Emirates' Hope orbiter arrives on February 19th, and China's Tianwen-1 mission arrives the next day. Perseverance carries two microphones. One will record the noise made by laser pulses emitted from the rover to hit rocks. The other microphone will listen to other events on the surface. The atmosphere on Mars is only about 1% as thick as the Earth's, so the sound waves will be different. Scientists say they expect to hear wind, falling boulders, and possibly even Mars quakes. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest News Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
The atmosphere on Mars is much thinner than Earth's and contains more than 95% carbon dioxide. USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so my headline that I've got for Joe Biden, the headline says this. I wrote the headline. Here's what it says, Dr. Bradley. Joe Biden repeats intellectually dishonest call for unity. Joe Biden repeats intellectually dishonest call for unity. He knows that he's not being intellectually honest. Okay, he's basically saying, hey, if you don't believe as I do, you're a flat-out terrorist. If you don't believe as I do, you're a white supremacist. I'm the black leader now. Okay, these are dishonest. You know, we're going to promote our agenda on murdering babies. And if you dissent, you're a terrorist. If you believe that the election was a fraud, you're a terrorist. If you don't wear a mask, you're a bad guy. Except for when I don't wear a mask, there's more important things to do. Okay, this is the intellectually dishonest things that I'm talking about. On the other hand, Sam Bushman and Richard Mack are coming together and creating a new website. It's not quite up yet, but it's going to be called callforcivility.com. Okay. We can intellectually disagree. We can have fundamental differences of viewpoints, of opinions, of ideas, of thoughts, of views, and not be classified terrorists or white supremacists or haters or bigots or insurrectionists. Or okay, we got to be intellectually honest about this. And we don't need unity, but we do need civility. First off, let's highlight those differences. What do you think of that, doctor? And then we'll drill into some of the details that back this up.
Well, I'm absolutely in favor of civility and being able to have a dialogue and a discussion and expose ideas of, different approaches to things. And honestly, that's the way the American Founding Fathers handled things. I mean, they'd meet in their taverns and in the meetings and talk about different approaches. And, I mean, you look at the whole Constitution Convention of 1787, you know, the big states versus the little states, the ideas of representation and how elections were to occur. And there was a chorus of different solutions that were brought forth. And, you know, I believe the Spirit of God worked on those men and got them into a mode where there was an agreement and an understanding, and it was a magnificent solution. But the idea of silencing an opposition just because they disagree with you, that's totally un-American. But honestly, it happens all the time. In every single solution, every single thing that's out there of any significance at all, it seems like there has been a complete unwillingness to allow that dialogue to occur. So, yeah, I would support your idea of civility and exchange of ideas, and I'd like to see the website when it's up. I hope people are looking forward to it.
But we don't need unity around ideologies that are wrong. Let me give you some examples to kind of make the point. They're literally saying Donald Trump created the violence and the insurrection at the Capitol. Okay, you can't say that stuff. You don't even have any charges filed against President Trump. You don't have any evidence that he's guilty. They say he incited the riot. What does that mean? Okay, and so he's an insurrectionist. And because he's a criminal, because he incited the riot, then we've got to do all these things to President Trump. Look, there's been no trial. He's innocent until proven guilty. There hasn't even been any charges filed. You could say, well, wait a minute, Sam, they impeached him in the House. Yeah, with no evidence. Okay, now it's in the Senate. Where it'll go, nobody knows. But look, the Senate doesn't even have authority. All they can do is kick him out of office and say, hey, you know what? This might be criminal. Let others take this on. We haven't even followed up with the process based on our rule of law to even go there. But they're already restricting him and saying that he'll create violence if he even speaks on his own. He doesn't have his freedom of speech anymore. If they can do that to the former or the president of the United States, okay, where do we go from here? And that's why I say Joe Biden repeats intellectually dishonest call for unity. It's not honest to call for unity that way. Okay, so Sam Bushman and Richard Mack are calling for, hey, we need to call for civility here. Okay, he needs to stop calling me a terrorist and a white supremacist because I don't believe the election was honest. Okay, he needs to stop attacking me because I don't wear a mask. Look, he's not wearing a mask either. Joe Biden didn't wear a mask and got caught at it, and all he said was, there's bigger fish to fry right now. Don't worry about it. Okay? I say that they're murdering babies. He says, oh, well, you're a terrorist. And now he wants me to unite? Unite with what? Now, I can be civil, and I can say, you know what? I think his call for unity is intellectually dishonest. Is that a civil way to put it, Doctor?
Well, I would think that it would be, and then there could be a discussion, and you could point out your position, and they could point out theirs. There's all sorts of ways of silencing people, you know, this ad hominem attack kind of thing, you know. They say you're too fat or you're too ugly or they think that you're, you know, bald or whatever. I mean, these personal attacks that personalize it and basically inflame it, I mean, you call somebody a racist. I mean, suddenly the debate's over. Oh, my goodness, that guy's a bad guy. Oh, my heavens. A terrorist. Oh, yes. Oh, no, nobody wants to be. No, you can't even deal with a terrorist. And so what they do is they put these appellations, if you will, these names upon people that are so laden with burdens of, you know, unacceptability that it throws them out. And that they're really, really amazing at that. And by the way, in case you ever get in a discussion and they start using ad hominem attacks, it means they're out of arguments. It means they don't have an intellectual leg to stand on. And suddenly they're throwing out these epithets of you know, some kind of, you know, you have to spit when you say it because it makes you so angry that they're out of gas intellectually. And that's where they are on this kind of situation. And so they paint everybody into a corner that says basically, you know, they take all of these egregious, horrid images that, you know, suddenly if you're a racist, you have this, everybody has an image of this. It's a caricaturization that suddenly you have to put in that category. A conspiracy theorist. I personally think that most conspiracy theorists today are probably seeking truth. You know, the truth seekers.
Well, and they may not have every fact in place, because again, a lot of this is classified information. It's very hard to get information. But many people who have these views are genuine in their beliefs, and there's certainly smoke in every case that I know of.
Well, you can't really smoke that out, if you want to use your terminology. You can't smoke that out if you aren't willing to have an exchange of information.
Yeah, so if we can't talk about election fraud, and if we can't get before the courts to prove our case, and if we can't subpoena any information, if we can't, even though we have thousands of affidavits of, you know, viewing of vote fraud and confirmation of vote fraud and hard drives that prove vote fraud and manipulations of votes and mathematical reality of vote fraud, but you can't get it anywhere. Hey, how are you going to ever prove vote fraud?
Well, that's absolutely true. And here's the kind of situation. Let's talk about how it was in the days of the founders. The vice president is president of the Senate constitutionally. And so when Jefferson was vice president to John Adams, they were at political odds, and he got relegated to kind of the fifth wheel in the whole situation. He wasn't welcome in the meetings and all that kind of stuff. So as the president of the Senate, he used his time wisely, and he wrote a parliamentary procedure for use in the Senate. And basically, it was a procedure that any senator, one, could stop debate, have a full discussion. No, nothing went forward until that had been reviewed, considered, and given its proper place. And when all things were brought out, it was a place to have diplomacy and exchange. And, of course, remember before that horrid 17th Amendment from back in 1913, the states had their seat at the table in the Senate. And so no state got railroaded or ramrodded or run over, however you want to put it. Jefferson said, no, we are going to use this as an exchange that airs everything. So in case somebody didn't think of it, wait a minute, Sam's got an idea over there. We haven't thought of that. Let's talk about that for a minute. That was how it was, and that's how this parliamentary procedure happened with this being able to stop debate and basically say this isn't going forward. Well, over the years, that's been eroded down until this 60% thing has to be there, where you have 60% that say, look, we're done with debate, let's vote on this and move ahead. And unless you get to that point, you can't leave it. Well, everybody wants to ramrod, railroad everything through. Now, of course, we moved toward democracy when the voice of the people, not the states, was going to be heard again with the 17th Amendment. And so now they want to get rid of that thing completely. And if you hold a majority, if your party holds a majority, there is no discussion, debate, or argument. You just go with the majority vote. And that's a Menshevik-Bolshevik kind of thing in the Russian context back at the beginning of the 20th century. That's where America is going. Majority rules, and majority does not rule in this country. There's some instances we could argue about that. And I say, okay, I understand those instances. But the majority cannot just decide they're taking the government off on a Marxist track, because the Constitution does not allow those things to happen. So if 99 members of the Senate decided they were going to implement a Marxist
Doctor, quick pause. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Hey, that's a pretty civil liner, isn't it there, Dr. Bradley?
Which one?
Please obey the Constitution.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it is. I mean, can you imagine? Well, everybody takes an oath to do that before God.
Under the idea, the principle of civility, saying, you know what, please obey the supreme law of the land, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. All right.
Yeah, well, that's civil. That's please. But we need to understand a huge majority does not make right. And cutting off debate in the Senate the way they're planning on doing, and they will get it through because that's the way the Bolsheviks run. But I'll just use an example of something that comes to mind. Back in September of 2012, both Utah senators, Hatch and Lee, co-sponsored with a whole bunch of other senators, a resolution to delegate to Barack Obama, who was the president at the time, the authority to go to war against Iran if he so chose, without having to go for a declaration of war in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11.
And shame on them for doing that.
Well, now, here's what happened, though. I mean, when the vote came up on that, 90 senators said, let's delegate that to him. 9 did not vote. 1 voted against. 1 voted against it. Now, because there were 90 of them, did that make it right? No. It violates the whole premise of the Constitution. It violates all constitutional protocol. Everything.
So I got a question. Why weren't they united in obeying the law, sir?
Well, that is, I mean, obviously, and we need to talk and find out why they were so screwed up on that. But the fact is, a huge majority voted for it, and they voted to delegate constitutional authority that they did not have away. I mean, they had constitutional protocol is if the people delegated through a constitution an authority to you as a legislature, you may not redelegate that, not by vote or anything, not by assumption or usurpation, not by treaty, not by anything. You hold that power and you exercise it or you do not. But you cannot delegate.
Now, let me answer. Why do you do that? Because it's the supreme law of the land and it holds the moral high ground. That's why.
It's part of the checks and balances. It's part of this, the whole idea constitutionally. It has nothing to do with technology. It has nothing to do with the date on the calendar, anything like that. It has everything to do with power, controlling power and applying it as the people agreed to. The consent of the governed occurred. You know, in the Declaration, we talk about the consent of the governed. Well, the consent of the governed, when they put somebody in office, does not occur. Well, yeah, they want them in office. But they take an oath to uphold the Constitution. The consent of the governed was given at ratification. We will be governed by this document, the principles found therein, and if people follow that, we'll go with it. That's where the consent of the governed happened. And if you get a majority in the Senate, like they're talking about now, if you have the ability by one vote to ramrod and railroad anything through, it is wrong. And it, you know what? If everybody, like I say, 99 senators agreed on something that violated that baseline premise that's found in the United States Constitution, they still don't have authority to do that. But what they're looking for is to basically railroad something through. And I keep bringing up the Bolsheviks and Mensheviks that started back in the beginning of the 20th century. Bolshevik means majority. Menshevik means minority. And they had an inane argument about some little trivial administrative nonsense in their Congress that they were talking about as they're putting together this plan to take over the world, and they hold a vote on it, and the Bolsheviks had the majority, so they were the Bolsheviks, so we're in the majority, we're going to do, and the Mensheviks were demeaned and shunted away, and ultimately finally became extinct, but that's how they play it. Because we have a majority, we will rule.
And now let me stop you there. Let me stop you there and explain Joe Biden in his acceptance speech or whatever you want to call it, his inaugural speech, he talked about democracy, democracy, democracy. He said it, I don't know how many times, I'd have to count. But it was a bunch. What you're talking about right there is democracy.
Right.
In the Bolsheviks, exactly. in this reality. We don't have a democracy. Okay, we have a constitutional republic. Pledge allegiance if you think I'm all wet on this. So I don't mean to be rude to Joe Biden, but this is where you're intellectually dishonest. We're going to unite under our democracy? No, we are not, sir. You have just sworn an oath to the Constitution. You have sworn an oath to a constitutional republic. And if we want to start by being united, then let's jettison your democracy. And let's stand with a constitutional republic. And some could say, Sam, you know what? Don't beat him up because of his words. But we're talking about a fundamentally different government than he speaks of. And we're talking about a completely different mechanism for solutions that he's sworn an oath to, sir. Okay, this is where, if we're going to unite, then we need to unite under a constitutional republic with the checks and balances completely intact. But this democracy idea, where he's just going to have his mob rule away, and everybody else is a, quote, dissenter, that is intellectually, at the least, dishonest. It borders on criminal behavior when you've sworn an oath, doctor.
Well, and in fact, they call it a perjury. I mean, that's basically, if you take an oath and violate it, it's a perjury act. And go back and look at the 1828 dictionary. Look at what oath is. I mean, the founding fathers, well, Noah Webster wrote it, and he was one of the founding fathers, And they say you take this oath before God, and even if you didn't say so help me God, but they did say so help me God, and they gave this little big grin on their face, so help me God, and it's like, well, were they understanding that they were standing before God and saying that, or were they, you know, kind of, well, I'm kind of in a way blaspheming. I mean, I don't know. I watched their little grins on their face as they came to that point. We've got this baby, you know, kind of thing, and I'm just completely disheartened with.
All right,
with,
I'm gonna bring up a great divide that I want to highlight. That this is where you just can't be united. You can be civil, but you can't be united. Okay, here's the deal. Anthony Fauci, quote, Joe Biden will revoke the Mexico City policy that prevents federal funds from going to abortions abroad. All right, so they've already released that. He's going to reverse that. Anthony already said so. However, that's the murder of children. There's no way I can unite with that point of view. I never will. Now, I can be civil and say I reject it because I'm pro-life. Fine. I don't have to attack. I don't want any harm to come to Fauci or Biden. But I can completely 180, and I don't know how to even express my disagreement more boldly while remaining civil here, but I disagree. Now, while that's going on, the state of Mississippi, quote, abortion would be classified as murder under a new Mississippi bill introduced into the state's legislature just a day ago. Republican Mississippi State Rep. Dan Eubanks put together a bill that would make it a felony for anyone who, quote, willfully, quote, caused an abortion. Any person who performs or induces any abortion shall be guilty of murder. The representative's legislation reads, that's the details of how it reads. It also goes on and talks about when you have a live birth and then they don't give attention to the baby and they let the baby die, that becomes murder as well. Now, I don't know how you have unity on this. The only way that Joe is for unity is if you agree to start murdering babies. But if you agree with the Mississippi State legislative body or this legislator, then what? Okay, this is the divide I'm talking about. And so we can be civil about it. and I encourage that. But there's no way we can be united with that kind of communist pro-death agenda on the table, Doctor.
Okay, so, you know, we have this national charter. And again, everything has to be weighed in that scale when it comes to the process. Now, absolutely, I'm opposed to abortion. And by the way, the Founding Fathers clearly understood that as being a wrong thing. And I mean, when Blackstone wrote Commentaries on the Law, he outlined why it was wrong and how it wasn't acceptable. And I mean, so the Founding Fathers knew about abortion and they knew the principles behind it. They did not allow, delegate, hand off, if you will, authority to do anything to the general government except what was specifically stated in the Constitution. And so, therefore, if you say, well, we're going to get rid of this policy that we can't send money overseas to kill babies, and they're going to stop that, wait, what is the Constitution about sending money overseas for any reason? I mean, you can't send it to some tin-horn dictator to maintain their position as an ascendancy over. You can't send it to Ukraine for any reason. You can't send it to Colombia. You can't send our money to foreign places like Israel or Egypt or anything. This idea, let's just go back to what power has been delegated. We said we will be governed under this document with these limits and bounds. And anything that falls outside those bounds is unacceptable. So this broad brush, Biden's coming in and he's going to do all these horrific things. I mean, we could spend all day. Like I say, the first day he signed 17 executive orders. And I got it. We could get a real divergence of discussion here that would take us down a path that we could discuss at great length about how did we get into that position where everybody thinks that executive orders are law and can set all of these public policy things and everything like that. They violate the Constitution. And that's what I keep telling people. Come back to the foundation. And I've told people on this show before and mentioned it to you a number of times, Sam, as a six-year-old, I got lost. And I didn't know that when you get lost, you sit down, you look at your back trail, you look at your tools and your resources and everything, and you keep your head and you go, you make a good, wise decision. I just took off running, and I was making great time, but didn't know where I was going, and it made things worse. But the fact of the matter is, we keep taking off running.
And what we do is we basically pretend we're going to be united by these platitudes of dishonesty. You know, if I say I can be united with, Biden on abortion, that's a lie. Okay, I can be polite and civil and decent about it, but I completely disagree. Let me give you another quick example. Leo Terrell happened to be on a Fox News program, and he questioned on Thursday where all the outrage was regarding the left about the violent protests, the riots in Portland, Seattle, and Denver, okay? And the bottom line is you've got this massive meltdown on the Capitol, and then you've got these guys basically not even talking about the rioting and the looting and the pillaging and plundering and violence and the destruction of property that have been going on for literally months and months and months in some of these places. And then when the debate came up that it's the same, then they said, no, it's not the same. One's the Capitol. The other one's just a city. Wait a minute. Are we saying there's different classes of people now in America? Okay, I don't know how you can unite on that. I think we should all be against violence. We should all be against the destruction of property. Shouldn't we?
Well, obviously. And to think that because someone now is the Bolshevik of our country, that we're going to follow the Bolshevik attitude. We're on the wrong path, people. We got to go back to the foundation, embrace the principles we were founded on. And let's, as George Washington said, we're Americans.
And we need to call for civility as we educate, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. It's that simple. That's why in 2015 I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility, even. Because I get it.
Well, you maybe ought to dust that off and kind of apply it again.
We're going to do it. We're going to talk about it more. We'll talk to you again soon on Monday, Dr. Bradley. Thanks for your time, sir.
All right. Take care.
God save the Republic. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word.